Your weekly dispatch from the front line of the end of the world. Under the Weather. With Ella Christensen.
Hello and welcome to Under the Weather. I'm your host, Ella Christensen. It's been a crazy week in the weather and climate news world, so let's get started. First up, as usual, flooding. In West Sumatra, torrential rain brought flooding last Monday. The severe rain and flooding caused landslides in many places, caused plenty of localized damage, and 5 bridges collapsed. There was a massive winter storm that hit the southern U.S. last weekend. Then, in the later part of last week, even more rainstorms hit the Carolinas, Georgia, and Florida. There has been torrential downpours, tornadoes, and more flash flooding. In the UK, a winter storm caused travel hazards and disruptions over the last couple of days in Scotland and northern England. Flash flooding, power outages, and wind damage. The storm event even brought freezing rain, which is, surprise, surprise, very rare in the UK. In Melbourne and along the coast of New South Wales, thunderstorms, hailstorms, and strong winds caused a wide array of damage, including, yep, flash flooding. 17 people in Victoria had to be rescued by helicopters, and at least 100 people were stranded in their cars on a highway. More than a month's worth of rain has fallen in about a day and a half. The low-pressure system causing such extreme rainfall is fed in part by the moisture from Tropical Cyclone Owen. Cyclone Owen made landfall in northern Queensland on Saturday, but rapidly weakened once it hit land. Still, it brought up to 20 centimeters of rain in some places and winds of 120 kilometers per hour. In Hyderabad, in South India, a 100-year-old record for highest rainfall received during a 24-hour period was broken this last week. 46.6 millimeters of rain fell on Friday, breaking the record which was set in December 1918 when 44.5 millimeters fell. Districts around Hyderabad received even more rain though, with some areas getting 87.8 millimeters in the same time. However, northern and northwestern states in India are still suffering from extreme drought conditions. In South Africa, the northern province of Gauteng is currently experiencing a spike in heat wave conditions. Weekend temperatures reached up to 37 degrees Celsius in some areas. The province has been in a heat wave since mid-spring. The Weather Service has issued severe fire danger conditions for many parts of the country. While COP24 has been going on, something actually quite important happened in relation to climate change international policy in Marrakesh. On the 12th, more than 160 countries finally signed an accord known as the United Nations Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration. What is significant about this meeting is that it is the first time the UN has formally recognized climate change as a driver of migration. Climate migration has been a thing for quite a few years now. Many people argue that the mass migration to Europe in recent years can be linked to climate change, so is the migration of Central American refugees to the US. This agreement is a pretty big deal then because it is the first global agreement in which countries are laying out a plan to deal with the inevitable crisis of mass climate migration. It's a non-binding accord which has been in development since 2016, and while this should come as no shock to anyone, it still infuriated me to learn that the US pulled out of the accord last year. This time, however, the US isn't alone. Quite a few countries have dropped out of the agreement as well, including Austria, Bulgaria, Hungary, Poland, Slovakia, and our generally quite humane neighbors, Australia. Ireland has become the first country to divest from fossil fuels. People are celebrating this, of course, but my response is just like, does it really matter when insurance claims due to weather-related catastrophe events across Europe totaled more than 15 billion euros last year? Not to sound like an alarmist, but if you're not alarmed, you're not paying attention. Economic collapse is not too far away at this point, so divesting from fossil fuels right now feels like a bit of a joke. Do you need more evidence? Two reports from this last week, one about the Arctic and one about Antarctica, have actually gotten quite a lot of coverage because unfortunately they are simply terrifying. The one about Antarctica was published by NASA. So Antarctica is essentially two massive ice sheets, the East and the West. The East Antarctic ice sheet has long been thought to be far more stable and less prone to warming than the West. Guess what? It's not. This study reports that several glaciers in the East ice sheet have been losing ice, and much faster than expected. Specifically, there are these 4 glaciers they found which have lost about 3 meters of surface height since 2008. Before 2008, there had never been a documented change in elevation for these glaciers. The other report about the Arctic was published by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The report says, well, the Arctic is completely transforming right now. In the winter, the Arctic usually completely freezes over and there is an accumulation of ice. February is usually the coldest and darkest period when the most sea ice growth happens. Last year, guess what happened in February? The Arctic lost 220,000 square kilometers of ice. In the summer last year, it was 20 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than normal. What's more, I saw another study from this last week's reporting that the Arctic Ocean has a higher concentration of microplastics than any other global basin in the world. Santa must be pissed. Actually, he definitely is, because this report from NOAA also revealed that wild reindeer and caribou populations have been decimated by climate change. In the last two decades, reindeer populations have been cut in half. Speaking of terrible wildlife news, giraffes were officially listed as an endangered species last week. I just keep thinking about this interview with Simon Beard on the BBC back in October. Simon Beard is a researcher at the Center for the Study of Existential Risk at the University of Cambridge. The host asks him to compare the situation we're into the collapse of previous empires. And Dr. Beard says this.
Either they weren't collapsing from something anthropogenic or they weren't collapsing from something they understood. There aren't examples of people who have known the risks, they've known the challenges, they've known how to solve the problem, and they've just walked into the
dark. But there are people who deny the problem, right? And that there will always be, right?
There will always be people who deny the problem. There are people who think the Earth is flat. We have to get over them.
Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Stay cool out there.
Whoa, yikes.
Under the Weather with Ella Christensen.